In today's Food on Friday, we discuss the history of our food and how closely tied it is to the history of women in this country. Skills in food preparation were one of the few ways that women could enter the workforce. Women like Flora Pell and Hetty Perkins, who exploited the skills they had to become successful, economically independent women. And we'll hear their stories shortly, because this March, this month coming, is Women's History Month. It's focusing on the theme of women in the business of food. And we're joined by two women who kind of practice what they preach, really. From Parliament House, the old Parliament House, current chef who heads up the catering at that place, Janet Jeffs. Hello, Janet.
Good morning.
Good to have you with us. And also joining us from Lismore in far north New South Wales is historian Adele Wessel from the Southern Cross University. Adele, welcome to you.
Thank you.
Adele, I'll come back to you. But in fact, Janet, I might start with you if I may. What's your path to where you are now as a catering chef at Old Parliament House? Where did you begin?
I started my apprenticeship in Adelaide with Chong Lu, who's regarded as the father of East meets West cuisine. From then I went on and worked with Maggie Beer at the Pheasant Farm in the Barossa Valley. Mm-hmm. And I taught cookery at Regency Hotel School for a couple of years. And then I started my own little restaurant up in the Clare Valley called Killikanoon. I moved to Canberra in 1995 and I was the contract caterer at the National Gallery for 3 or 4 years and then got the contract at Old Parliament House.
And Janet,
we've been for 10 years.
For 10 years now. And so in I guess, forming a career yourself in the area of cuisine and hospitality, when did you become interested in the history of other women's path in that era?
Well, I've always been involved, especially working with Maggie, getting to know Stephanie, Alexander, Gay Bilson, strong women like that who are real role models for my career.
Well, you know something about someone I know very little about, and that's Charles Perkins' mother, Hetty Perkins. Tell us about Hetty.
Well, the interesting thing about Hetty Perkins is that as an Aboriginal woman working near Alice Springs and bringing up 11 children, she used her skills as a cook to maintain her family, and especially, very importantly, Charles Perkins, her son.
So she would have had to go through some pretty hard times, I imagine, just to keep the family alive and also to practice her art.
Well, I think they were very challenging circumstances, not only for Hetty, but for a lot of women in the food industry during that period. And I think that those women really do show us a way. And it's the celebration of women in the business of food this Women's History Month also has a hard edge, in that I don't think that those pioneers had it any easier than the women chefs, food writers and caterers do today.
I'm sure indeed. And in fact, in researching and looking at the history of women in the business of food, isn't it fabulous that Hetty Perkins now has a granddaughter with the same name? And I take it she would have been a fount of information when it comes to learning about her grandmother.
Indeed, and I think a source of great pride as well. And it just shows, you know, trailblazers that really could make a difference in that way, and how important women are in the business of food and in getting better foods on our plates.
What about Pearl Gibbs, another name from the past? Who was Pearl Gibbs?
Pearl Gibbs was Indigenous woman that organised domestic service in Sydney in the 1920s and 30s. And part of the celebration of International Women's Day this year is to, because it's the centenary, is to highlight the work of women like that.
Indeed so. And I'd like to make mention with Dr. Adele Wessel another name from our past when it comes to not only the teaching of cooking and techniques, but also the publishing of one of the great cookbooks of this country. And that's the name of Flora Pell, Adele. Can you tell us a bit about Flora?
Yeah, Flora was really interesting because I think that she does provide an example of a woman who was financially independent through her work in food, but also promoted domesticity, I guess, as a kind of a space for women to be active, and elevated the sort of status of it as well. She was born on the 12th of March in 1874, and Our Cookery Book, which is probably what she's best known for.
And that's the title of the book. It's Our Cookery Book. That's the title.
Yeah, that's right. And it ran into about 30 editions. It was published from 1916 to 1950. But just recently, where we've been asking people to share their memories of the book and of Flora Pell, we found that quite a lot of people were still receiving the book as wedding gifts in 1967, or they've inherited them from their families, from their grandmothers or their mothers. So, in fact, it's still actually being used.
Why was it so successful, Adele? Why did it have so many print runs?
Well, she was actually the inspector of domestic arts centres when they first started. The first one that opened was in Collingwood, which is the site of Stephanie Alexander's kitchen garden project.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so it's the same space. And she started there as a headmistress and then moved on to become the inspectress of the domestic arts centres as they opened up all over Victoria. And they were really promoted as a way of teaching women either domestic arts that they could use in their own home or domestic service in other people's homes. So it was a bit of an alternative to factory work or to leaving school early. So in that sense, it was kind of promoting that idea about women's independence. But the book became a textbook and was quite popular in that sense. But it's well written. It's practical. She believed at the time that women weren't learning how to cook and from their mothers and their grandmothers. So it was really sort of back to basics. But it had a lot of very practical kind of application as well about using leftovers, about
using every part of the animal?
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Something we've moved away from now.
That's right. And I think, you know, there's some really interesting lessons in all of that if you look at food wastage. I mean, for her writing in 1916, that interwar period, it was really important. The nutritional standards were important, but also the domestic economy was important as well. But just in terms of food wastage, the environmental cost as well has become sort of more significant. So
I love that photograph of Flora as well. I've seen that photo in the research and it's extraordinary. She's got that high collar and this marvellous sort of swept up hair and she's got this quite regal bearing. Yeah. And I love the contradictions between her philosophy on where women should be in society and her own place.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, she believed that there was power in making a happy home, and that a happy home meant a prosperous nation, and that it was from the home that we recruit our citizens and so on. So she did really believe, I think, in the status and the importance of that particular role. And she was concerned that working outside the home was kind of undermining women's maternal instincts.
And yet, where was she?
At the same time, she didn't marry until after she'd sort of retired in difficult circumstances and it was kind of pushed out of her job, and she never had any children. So
she didn't practice what she preached?
No, not at all. but I do think that she would have still provided a model of an alternative at the same time. So while she was advocating a quite restricted role, it also became one, I think, that a lot of women were able to identify, and because she sort of suggested that it was one from which there was some power to be gained as well, it became an opportunity for other kinds of involvements, really.
This is Food on Friday on Bush Telegraph on ABC Radio National. We're talking about some of the history of women in food and food as a business today, because that's one of the central themes of the History of Women Month starting in March. My two guests are Dr. Adele Wessel, who's an historian and cookbook collector and also works at the School of Arts and Social Sciences at Southern Cross University in Lismore. And also with us is the head of catering at Old Parliament House in Canberra. She's been there for the last 10 years, having run her own businesses and establishments and worked with other greats around the nation, Janet Jeffs. Janet, I take it for you that Flora Pell is, again, one of those leading figures that you would have maybe followed and looked at over the years?
Yes, and isn't it interesting indeed the way that Stephanie's kitchen garden project started off on one of her sites?
The circle is complete.
That's right.
Yeah.
It's a very interesting point that Del raised with that. And Stephanie has done a lot of work encouraging young children to not only become gardeners but cooks, so that they really are following how to grow good food and to eat good food, and it's incredibly important.
When you were sorry to interrupt there, but Jenna, just wondering about yourself personally. When you started thinking about a life in the kitchen, in the commercial kitchen, were there books like this one, Flora Pell's Our Cookery Book, that you looked at for inspiration?
There were, and of course, when I started my apprenticeship, it was during the period of the revolutionary cuisine nouvelle, so there was great upheavals that were happening in the way that people presented food. But I think what's happened over the, say, last 20 years, and even you can think about, avocados becoming popular, or basil. I mean, people never ate basil 20 years ago, and now pesto is, you know, commonplace on everyone's table. I remember presenting a bunch of basil to Maggie Beer, and it was the first time that she'd ever used it, and we made a pesto out of that, and how revolutionary that was.
Do you name drop that at dinner parties? I bet you do. I would. That's brilliant. Adele Wessel, can I ask you too, in looking at cookbooks like this one from Flora Pell and others through the years, I'm sure Margaret Fulton, you'd have to acknowledge her in the great pantheon of women who've led the way in commercial cookery. When you look at those cookbooks, what do they tell you, aside from giving you insight into recipes, I guess, and ingredients that were available, what do they tell us about the times?
Well, yeah, there's a lot, really. I mean, if you take the example of Margaret Fulton, I think that that's a really interesting example. That book that she published in 1968, Margaret Fulton's cookbook, has sold about 1.5 million copies. So the reach of that is actually quite enormous. But for a lot of people, it was the first time they were introduced to what were then considered pretty exotic cuisines, which is what Janet was suggesting. So, she travelled and sampled Scandinavian food and Italian food and so on. And she didn't just actually provide the recipes, but she also gave advice on how you could eat spaghetti, for instance, that actually made it much more accessible. So a lot of people have tended to think that the way that we embrace diversity or different cultures is partly because of immigration, but it's also because of some of the hard work, I think, that people did in trying to introduce that sort of diversity and to change the way that we ate. So there's the recipes. I think you can tell a lot from the kind of influences. There's also, you know, the ingredients, who cooks, who the recipes were actually directed towards. There's a lot about class in there, and mm-hmm. about gender, about, you know, the kinds of who's preparing the meals and what they would have involved and that kind of thing. They were also used, certain recipe books, to promote particular kinds of ingredients or sort of social consciousness sort of movements now too. So you've got environmental kind of cookbooks or books around vegetarianism. So,
and certain companies, I take it, will put out cookbooks if they needed to flog something?
Yeah, that's right. So Davis Gelatine is one of the classic examples in Australia that started producing cookbooks in 1908 and used colour pictures, and so it was a way of kind of promoting gelatine. Flora Pell wrote a book on using dried fruits, and at the time there was a bit of a surplus of dried fruit coming out of Mildura.
Right.
So they're kind of also ways of promoting particular kind of produce as well.
And well, since we're talking about Flora again, and we should, because she's such a figure, this is all, of course, way before mass media and television particularly reared its ugly head as a way of people promoting themselves in the cooking world. And yet she was a celebrity, wasn't she?
She was. She had her friend Vesta had a regular column called Women to Women that appeared in the Argus, and she often featured in that. Vesta would quote her. She thought she was a fabulous cook, that anybody who was learning cooking through her school would become a fantastic cook and so on. And she also promoted the idea of the domestic arts centres and the idea that cooking was something that you didn't just do, it wasn't just innate in women, it was something that required training, and that sort of professionalised it in some ways as well. So there was the newspaper media, but she also had a regular spot on 3LO in Melbourne, where she actually talked about her recipes and gave advice and so on.
Fabulous.
Yeah, so she was quite a celebrity and quite well known, and it's remarkable the memories that people actually have of her. So people who've responded to an article that was just recently published by Alison Wishart, who I collaborate with at the National Museum, she's a curator there, have got in contact with Alison and talked about Flora's book as being a Bible, and you know, as her advice is still being followed and that kind of stuff. So her influence was quite strong, despite the fact that she didn't have television.
Janet Jeffs, as someone who's working in the contemporary field with television as a way of distributing images and knowledge, how do you feel women are ranked by television audiences as people to go to as celebrity chefs? Is there still room for improvement in that area?
Well, it does go to show that the hand that stirs the pot does influence your diet. And I'm sure that TV has played an important role in expanding people's horizons and people's interest in food, and that's certainly been something that's come through with, for instance, Maggie's programs on the ABC. They've been fantastic and really got people interested in trying it themselves, and that's the most important thing.
And yourself, do you have any plans for a TV career?
No, I'm much more interested in the farming aspect of food. And in fact, I'm growing some rare breed pigs because I'm very interested in the nutritional value of food. And one of the things that alarms me is that the decline in the health-giving properties of our vegetables, our fruit, our meats over the past 50 years, they're half the nutritional value of what they were 50 years ago. And I'm wondering, you know, is that to do with good soils and healthy, fertile soils that we're growing our good carrots in? Or in your comments on the program earlier, I mean, the concerns about the dairy industry and where that's going, that's of deep concern to chefs and anyone in the food industry. And I'm sure that chefs have a very important role there to help farmers in direct and change people's eating habits and to really concentrate on getting on that healthy track again.
There we are, more women right now breaking down some of the barriers and preconceptions that we may have about the food we eat. And it's been a case in point. Janet Jeffs, thank you very much indeed.
You're welcome.
It's been fantastic. Janet Jeffs, who's the head of catering at Old Parliament House in Canberra, and also my other guest, Dr. Adele Wessel, who is an historian and cookbook collector based in Lismore. She works at the School of Arts and Social Sciences at Southern Cross University, both of them helping us remember some of the great landmark women in the history of Women Month, starting in March, who paved the way for so many others when it comes to commercial cookery.